Technically, it's 6:01. Sorry, Terry. At 6:01, I call the meeting to order. I'd like to introduce, tell me your title again. This is Isaac. What's your title for the troop?
Isaac Thomas.
Okay, and but what is your position with the troop?
Senior patrol leader.
There you go. He's going to lead us in the pledge, so if we could all please rise.
All right. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Isaac, and thanks to all of the scouts that are here tonight. We appreciate having you, and hopefully you'll learn something tonight during our meeting. The first thing that we need to do is approve tonight's agenda. So if I could get a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Motion, Ms. Shore.
Second.
Second, Mr. Smith. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. At this time, we'd like to welcome public comments. Does anyone want to come to the podium and share comments with us tonight? All right, seeing none, we will move on into our consent agenda, which tonight includes the board meeting minutes from our regular meeting on November 23rd, fund and expenditure summary reports, accounts payable vouchers and payroll claims, and the personnel report. Can I get a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Walker.
Second.
Second, Ms. Shore. Any questions or discussion?
I'd like to start tonight with just some questions and clarifications around the new Dean of School Information and Events, who's also going to be our football coach. I want to personally express how excited I am about hiring Jason. I think the direction our student athletes are going to go, it's an exciting hire for our football program. With that being said, though, I just want to make sure the administration clarifies for me and the board what the expectations we are putting on the new Dean of School Information and Events, who's also going to be the football coach. So, you know, I have the job description. I appreciate all the clarification that we've gotten so far in email about the new position. However, I just want to make sure that this position is being created to support events that clubs, athletics, and performing arts conduct throughout the school year at FC. So there's a lot of that that goes on. And Chase, I know you had mentioned on 12-8 to the board that this position will span departments at the high school and ensure cohesion in the facility scheduling, as well as digital marketing for the events for each of these departments. So just to clarify for the board, what departments are you referring to?
Really anything at the high school that's going to involve after-school events that involves the planning of facilities and communicating those events. So it really could be anything. You're really looking at a lot of what Eric Kellison did in Rabbit, getting bird-dogging all of the different things that go on to plan the things at the high school, which doors are opened up, which doors are closed, which lights need to be on, HVAC, all that stuff that happens within our systems. That's what this position will entail, yeah.
So then on the digital marketing piece specifically, do you envision him creating individual like Facebook events for signature events or work with programs that are doing that already? How does this events piece play into that?
Talking with Jenny, they're going to have to work to develop that together because it's looking at the high school's main Facebook page, how we're utilizing that. Hannah Pendleton already does a lot of the graphics there, so how do we, you know, interweave those two positions to make sure that we're communicating to our families out in the community what's going on in our school? I think that's probably a piece that's going to fit a lot of other pieces that are already going on at the high school.
Okay.
A lot of what you're asking is, this is a position that at the end of the day, Jenny developed and said, this is something that would be great for our high school. It would allow me to free up another assistant principal into more of an academic position. Currently, we have one assistant principal that does all the evaluations for the teachers, essentially. And this allows us to bring another academic and curriculum assistant principal to the main part of the building with Jenny and free him up to be able to do that. So it's got multiple benefits to it, and it is an actual, there's work to be done, and it is a needed position.
I mean, very much so. I'm very well aware of how the scheduling piece works. You know, obviously there's a school dude system, so once, you know, I would assume Jason's going to be entering events into school dude, am I correct?
Yes.
So then that automatically tells our custodial and maintenance, so Jen Lewis and Sly at the high school, in terms of all the pieces that you said. So where do you see him fitting in that current established system that we have, just supporting them in those roles then?
So again, what Eric does in terms of getting that in the system and then making sure that all of those things happen. There is one thing of putting in the system, but then there's the other part of actually ensuring and implementing and making sure that it all happens, and then working with all the departments. So yes, he will work with Eric to pass all of those duties on.
Okay. And then do you foresee him being the administrative liaison then for every event at the high school? Is that, will he be physically present at most of these events, or how is that piece going
to
work?
I think you would still see the administration scheduled to be at events. Individually, I wouldn't see him responsible for all of these events now.
Okay. No, I just, with events in the title, I just would hate to see tension with so many people at the high school. And clearly we want to support all the programs, which I think is a noble piece, but I just want to make sure that, again, you know, we're setting this person up for success when clearly we want football to be, you know, a priority as well. So
yeah, with the systems Eric has, I'm confident that Eric will be able to train him up on what needs to be done.
Do you see any conflict with what's happening when he's in the fall season, when that's such a priority?
In terms of during the school day?
Yes.
No, I don't see any problem with that job getting
done. Okay. I know you had mentioned to the board, you know, you were excited about him getting here in the second semester so that he can get going on football. So I just know, you know, is the position priority going to be football or deans of events? And, you know, again, I think, again, I am so supportive of the football position. I think it's great we're going to have someone with success in that role and come in guns a-blazing. But, again, I just want to make sure that we don't tout this as a win or support for clubs and organizations if football is the priority. So, again, I support the fact that we're hiring a great coach.
I'd like to add what Zach was saying, and some of his questions are well put. I think that we have a very, very good performing arts program. We're well-respected throughout central Indiana. And our basketball program, I think, is on the right track. And we had a missing link in our football program. And I just think what the boys and girls do after school hours is very important to their education. And I do think that with performing arts, basketball, we did have a missing link. And I'm really excited about landing a guy of this caliber.
I think, too, for clarification, Chase, correct me if I'm wrong, but many of our coaches have full-time jobs within our school district, and this is extra outside of what they do during the school day. Is that right?
All of our major programs, those coaches do work within our capacity, yes.
Got it. Any other questions or discussion?
Yep. So for me, and I want to start and say, before I ask my questions, I want to say that I am excited for the Flashes football team and for the fans. I am, as some of you know, a 1984 graduate of Franklin Central, so I remember vividly the three-peat season of state champions, and I still have that Flashes spirit. And I remember well what that did for not just the school spirit, but for the township as well. So I do continue to have that championship mug, that spirit, and all those great memories. So as I think about this position, I do have a lot of questions. I'm very happy for the school, for the players, for the township, that we can get this quality of a coach. So my questions don't have anything to do with recruiting that level of a coach. And in fact, as I have stated previously, if the intent of this district is to have that level of coach and to pay for coaches at that level, then I am welcome to have that conversation. My concern really is, are we creating positions to be able to have coaches that really aren't the salaries aren't commensurate to the positions that we're putting them in? Are we simply just creating positions so that we can keep those coaches? And that's what's bothering me with this strategy that we're talking about today in this position. So as I look at the Dean of Information and Events, I don't really see that that position is commensurate to the salary. It looks like an entry-level position to me. It doesn't look like the position that warrants $86,000 a year. It doesn't look like it's something that warrants somebody with a bachelor's and master's degree with the level of experience and teaching skill that probably Jason will bring to this district. And it doesn't look like it fills the gaps and needs that our district truly needs today. So if I look at the positions that really we need to fill at our in our school district, it probably isn't the position that is being presented to me. So that's my concern. Do I want him as a coach? Absolutely. But do I feel like we need to be paying $86,000 a year for somebody to schedule events? Probably not. And did we just hire an additional athletic director? So now we have two. And it is partially the athletics director's position and responsibilities to schedule sporting events and to make sure that they go off without a hitch, they report that if there's any damage, and do some of that. So then what do we do with those job descriptions and those responsibilities? So for me, it feels like we created a position because we wanted the coach. And I absolutely understand we wanted the coach. But I would rather have a conversation about the coach and how to get the coach rather than creating a position that now he can fit into. So when I look at what a dean would do and think about a dean, that position doesn't hold the responsibility that I would think a dean would hold. He doesn't supervise. He doesn't really oversee a program. It just feels like we gave that position a fancy title, and now we're going to pay him at a level to keep a coach. So I have some questions that I'm hoping you could help me feel better about that. And you did probably answer a little bit of them with Zach's questions as well. So he is going to be, or that position, because really it isn't about the individual person, scheduling the facilities throughout the year, correct?
Correct.
And both for sports and for the arts?
Yes.
And then it says maintain records of groups who use the facility. So he'll be doing that. And I assume at this point there's various people doing that, and it's fit into their normal jobs, right? So we have Eric doing that. We have somebody within the arts groups doing it. If you have a club, then the person who runs the club probably schedules their events.
That all runs through Eric.
Yep, okay. And then he's going to, the other main job responsibility is related to PR. So communicate with the community using a variety of digital platforms, the various activities occurring within the school. So none of the activities, those main activities for me, rose to the level of a dean. He doesn't supervise anybody. He is not over a program. So I, for me, I'm just left with, I don't understand how we got to.
None of our deans supervise anybody.
But for deans.
None of our deans supervise anybody. The three deans that we have are in charge of discipline. They don't supervise any other individuals. And our dean of attendance doesn't supervise anybody.
Well, but and exactly. That would be an exact situation where we hired a coach. We actually, most of us, I don't know, maybe some people knew, but that piece of paper, because it wasn't in our board docs when we actually saw it, that was put on a piece of paper at our table hours before the meeting, and so I didn't see it. And so, well, you could, because we told you after the meeting that we never wanted that to happen again. Oh, well, I'll send you the emails.
Don, why is it we always have to put on a show when we have a crowd? Is that just something that's inbred within you?
So anyway, I guess. guess for me.
Answer my question, Dawn.
Can we talk about how, and maybe it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Well, no, it does matter, Dawn. What you're saying is exactly what happened in the fact that we want to be competitive to give a high-quality football coach, and because you have to go outside the CBA because the football coach is a part of it, that's exactly what happened. We asked Jenny, just like when we hired the basketball coach, I asked then Principal Terry, what do you need to make your school better? And at that time, our attendance rate was going down, and Chase said, we really need someone to take that outside of the assistant principal's job and bird dog attendance. And Jenny thinks the same thing about only having Michael Gaines, who's one of our assistant principals. He evaluates our entire teaching staff, which is growing every year because we're going by the number of kids we're growing. So therefore, she decided that that would be a situation to where if we took more off of Eric's plate, which is the piece of actually who's going to be in our building and when, that would help him free him up for other...
And I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is in creating a job that is an entry-level job and calling it something and paying $86,000.
But Mr. Kellison isn't an entry-level person.
But this is only one little piece of his job. It's one piece of his job. It's not the whole of his job.
But how are you going to be competitive for a three-time 6A state championship coach if you're going to pay him way less than that? Because he wouldn't come.
So what you're saying is let's pay a coach $100,000. And what I'm saying is then let's have a conversation about that. Let's not create a job... Let's not create a job and say it's something that it isn't.
I'm not saying that. I've never said that. In fact, I'll go on record to say the only way to compete for high-quality coaches is what we're going to have to create positions because those positions are within the CBA.
Right, and that's exactly what I'm saying.
I agree with you.
What?
Totally.
But what I'm saying is I don't want to create a job that is not commensurate to what you're saying it is. Let's just be honest with our community and say
with the community. I don't understand because if you would go to his job at Warren Central, he's an assistant athletic director. I guarantee you if you ask Chris Byers, our head basketball coach, is he working harder as our dean of attendance than what he was doing in the athletic program at Warren Central, Chris will tell you, absolutely, I'm working way harder during the day, and he's actually improved our attendance rate. And I believe Jason will be the same because they're quality people, and we give them what they're supposed to do during the day, and they're going to do it.
So, Dr. Pettit, maybe this is for you, and Dawn, I think I understand what you're saying when it comes to hiring a coach and creating a position. We wouldn't be able to take positions like this out of the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, until it's up for renewal again, right? Which is this year. So this year we can have the conversation that you're talking about. However, this is happening prior to that. Is that accurate that we could bring that up as a discussion point?
We could, yes, we very much could bring taking out positions. And there have been positions that we have taken out recently, like the deans and the psychologists and admin interns. And so there are positions for exactly what we're talking about.
And the coaches were not a part of the CBA. They have been added, I believe, Dawn, since you've been a part of the
correct.
School board.
Right, that is true.
Correct. Coaches were not a part of it. They became a part of it.
Okay, so
but yes, when the CBA is open, you can have those conversations with the
board.
There's a whole formal process that we follow. We put up letters in buildings. There's timelines, all kinds of things like that.
So we could do that this year when it's open again, so that we're not in this same situation. The position itself, from the information that we got from Chase and from Jenny, I'm all about trying to free up some of our other administrators so that they can be more focused on academics, teacher evaluations. I wouldn't want to do all the teacher evaluations myself. That is a huge time-consuming process, and we have grown staff or whatever. So I'm in favor of the position. I wouldn't call it an entry-level position. Although they're not supervising people, it's a big deal to be in charge of scheduling all of our facilities and making sure everything happens the way that it's supposed to happen, especially when you look at all the extracurricular activities that we have, even outside of athletics. I mean, there's more activities than there are athletic activities, I would say, probably, when it comes to scheduling everything. So I definitely think it's a full-time position and not an entry-level position. And the end result, which is acquiring the coach that everyone's excited about and that's going to turn our football program in the right direction, I think it's the right thing to do.
It is. When you look at the advertised assistant principals on websites, you'll see something that's similar, but when you dig down into their staffs, you start to see a lot more folks that are there supporting the system that is a large high school. I mean, there's just a lot of things that go on. It's a large organization in itself.
Is there a reason why you didn't choose to just reorganize the position of the assistant athletic director?
We don't have an assistant athletic director.
What was the position that we talked about? So when we added the second athletic director, there was another vacated position in that we
didn't
fill.
That went away completely.
It
when that position was vacated, it was not filled. It is not planned to be filled.
Okay.
I think going from one athletic director to two now, I'm sure you're still going to be extremely busy. I don't mean that, but I think it's more of a value add to our district to have this position than it would be an assistant athletic director at this point. And that's what
I hope everybody feels that from what you've seen on social media, the way the website looks and the different communications that have come out of our athletic department. I've been very impressed with what they've done over there.
Ms. Britt and Dr. Pettit, can you just remind the board, the dean of students, they're on a completely different schedule, right? Their teacher pay and something else, or can you remind the board?
Their teacher pay plus days. They're 195.
So that's different than what this position is and the dean of attendance, their schedules?
Yeah, their teacher pay plus days.
Okay.
Since our administration has been here, we did not have deans when I got here.
Right, we had deans before, and they were part of the, some of them were coaches, and they were released from duty when we have financial difficulties, which is part of why I wouldn't want to see that again, because it was very difficult.
Yeah, Fred was going to have a financial report later, but
my only other question outside of this conversation on the personnel report was just for Ms. Britt and Dr. Pettit to explain to us what the HR data secretary will be doing to help HR. And then on the COVID question, since you brought that up, I saw in our personnel summary a note. I know Congress is deciding to get their act together today of all days, but I just wanted you to say before whatever we understand what the new law will be, if there aren't any changes to what's current, it looks like, just explain to the board, personal leave or sick days will be needed if the current guidelines go away.
If a staff member were to be deemed close contact or positive, and that
So I assume by our next meeting you'll have clarified whatever the new law says. Yeah. So, okay. Okay. Just wanted to bring that up since it's nestled at the bottom. And then I know there was some salary adjustments that seem very warranted as well. So.
Any other questions or discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries 4-1. Moving into our discussion items, Ms. Downer, the Central 9 report, please.
Central 9 met again this month. We will continue, or Central 9 will continue to do hybrid for a while after the holidays. So we'll continue to do that and monitor the positive cases of the 9 schools to see how that goes for a while. Hybrid actually is going pretty well. They're also continuing on with assessing for the RFP responses for the architect to see how that's going. So they're pretty pleased with how the responses at this point in talking to people. They haven't had that many responses, but they feel comfortable so far with the process. So we will continue with that as well. And then other than that, they're preparing for the holidays and everything's going pretty smoothly. Talking with schools still about transportation, making sure that's smooth. So with the hybrid, they're very appreciative of the schools continuing to transport students. So I know we've been doing really well going to students' homes even when we're not in session and transporting students. So everybody's very appreciative of all the collaboration. So everything's going well.
Todd deserves a whole lot of credit for all of that. He has been very flexible and has made it happen for our kids. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, and I think like our schools here as well, attendance and behavior is very positive. So students really want to be in school when they're in school, and they are behaving well. So and attending whenever they can. So it's going really well. So
thanks, Dawn. Any questions for Dawn? All right, the FTEF report, I'm going to have Dr. Pettit give that since I was not at their last meeting.
We're excited moving into our 25th year, which is this year will be our 25 years. Monty Gardner is the president this year, and Ryan Donovan is the vice president. Scott Donovan is going to continue as the treasurer, and Rebecca Cribbs will be the secretary this year. At the last meeting, we identified the that as an organization that we're wanting to focus on. We want to continue supporting the district's literacy initiative.
Major Saver is still going on.
Thank you. Yes, Major Saver is still going on. We were excited and amazed that we've had a lot of money at the end of the year to give away as an impact. In a year that a lot of places really, organizations really struggled, we actually did an amazing job of being able to continue to give through people's generous donations. Major Saver is really kind of the first thing that has hit FTEP in a little bit of a struggle with the COVID that's going on. The big releases and everything you do in the schools didn't happen because just as we're getting ready to do that, the Marion County Public Health Department changed the school structure. So the deadline for Major Saver has been extended. It's a great campaign, and by all means, I want to get a lot more cards into a lot more hands. So if you know anybody, please direct them to something that's chat. Thank you.
Yes.
January 4th.
Right. So if you still have last-minute Christmas gifts that you need to get, this Major Saver card is great, great option. I might have a few of those myself. Very good. Thank you, Dr. Pettit. Any questions for Dr. Pettit on FTEF?
Oh, one other thing real quick just to add was besides the dry erase markers, we bought ABC, your alphabet charts for all. Is it K1, 2? K1?
K? K1.
For K1 across the district, in addition to all the drawing markers. So for, no matter what elementary school you go to, you'll have the exact same visuals to look at as part of that consistent curriculum.
I think that's great because it's not just about what building you're in. It's also about what classroom you go to, and they're in different places, or they look a little different, or they have different, you know, A is for apple. Maybe it's not apple in the next room. So I think that's really going to help when it comes to what you guys are trying to do at those early levels. So yeah, I'm very impressed with COVID, how much you guys have still been able to accomplish this year. Thank you, Dr. Pettit. Okay, we will move into the action items section of our agenda. And first on the list is Mr. McWhorter with the approval of property and liability insurance.
Yes, ma'am.
That's fine.
Okay. Yes, on the agenda, broker shop, our insurance, we had this on our agenda the last couple of years here. Property, data processing, crime coverage, liability, personal automobile, cyber liability. With that, we recommend that we go with the recommendation with the Liberty Mutual Mortgage team, which costs an amount of $823,716, excluding
so that we can have discussion. Can I get a motion in a second to approve the renewal of property and liability insurance?
Motion to approve.
Motion, Ms. Downer?
Second.
Second, Ms. Shore. Any discussion or questions? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Dr. Chase, approval of additional courses at the high school, please.
Yes, ma'am. Again, we for the new academic year, we bring you a list of courses that we'll be adding at the high school. One of the main ones I want to point out is that we'll now be able to offer dual credit AB Calc. It was AP exclusive previously. Mark Woodrow has done the coursework and got his math-specific coursework done so that we can offer dual credit Calc. One of the other things to keep an eye out for that you'll start seeing that we are already in the process of transitioning to is the next level programs of study. Those are the new names for the CTE courses for the state of Indiana and their next level Indiana endeavor. And so we do have a timeline for updating all of our CTE courses that will start in 22-23. So these courses here in front of you are 21-22, but we do have our eyes on 22-23 already.
So that we can have discussion, can we get a motion in a second to approve the additional courses at the high school?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second, Ms. Downer. Any questions or discussion?
I'd like to sit on in on that themes in literature into the world class. That sounds rather interesting.
Yeah, we had to add more because the kids started taking them so fast we were running out of programming.
Really?
And they wanted more, so we added more. Yep, they were soaking them all up their junior year and then had nothing left for their senior year, so we just have to add more courses.
Good problem to have. What is going to be a part of that? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's all in the novels they select, so all the novels are themed out on that type of genre and that type of theme, and so the kids love it.
I'm sure they do. That's great.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by the list. I mean, the variety of what kids are able to take at our high school is, some colleges don't have that many classes, it seems like, right? So, very impressed. All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Any new business, Mr. McWhorter?
Yeah, yes, I have it. Some new business like to share in regards to how our property tax, our budget order, and how we're going to end the year, and then the board to maybe consider a recommendation. Tyler, can you pull up that one spreadsheet? Been working on. Sorry for the late notice, but we've actually got the budget order late Thursday, so I've been working on it Friday, and then Caitlin and I got the county auditor's settlement sheets on Friday, and so. Been trying to put some information together. So I'm sure we'll go over this again at a future work session, but still wanted to bring the board up to speed to kind of where we end here. No, it's a little hard to read, but our budget order for 2021, the total rate came in at 1.3912, which I think that's pretty good. That's the lowest total tax rate since 2012, and it's the lowest debt rate since 2008, if you can slide that over, Tyler. A little bit, there you go, since 2008. So that's really good. If you look at the kind of the history, you know, back in 2008, it's kind of back in the good old days, I guess you'd say, before the recession. And then we kind of had the recession happen here in 9, 10, 11. And then we kind of started going on this yo-yo tour where we'd have a high rate, then a low rate, then a high rate, then a low rate, then a high rate, then a low rate, then a high rate. And then this kind of administration took over, and we tried to start managing that tax rate so we didn't have those yo-yos going up and down. So essentially in the 2018, we were able to get that into the $1.50 range. It's kept that pretty close in 2019, 2020. It ticked up a little in 2020 because we had that operating appeal, but then again, clicked back down here in 2021. So from 2017 to 2021, the rates dropped 21%. So I think that's a good news for everybody. Assessed valuation, you scroll over just a little bit, Tyler. 2008, it was $2.25 billion. It took all the way to 2018 to get back up to where we were back in 2008. So that recession really took a toll on school corporation and finances. So I know that you had some lively conversation on staffing and stuff earlier today. Well, back then, you couldn't have those conversations, okay? Today, we're thankfully in the position where we can have these conversations. Especially in the last three years here, we've had some significant AV growth, 8%, 9%, 10%. And I'm still tracking over 1,000 housing starts right now, probably close to 1,500. As you know, enrollment skyrocketed. We grew 233 kids this year, the only school corporation in Marion County to have an increase in enrollment. We grew 564, I think, last year. But basically over 1,250 kids in the last 4 years. Being able to handle that growth and manage our tax rate and lower it 21%, especially keeping our debt service keeping getting it to go low. You can say, well, you know, we've added some debt. Well, we also paid off some debt, and so we have some debt paying off as well. So if you notice, the actual debt levy is actually lower in this 2021 budget than it was in 2020 by $250,000. And if you could take it back to 2017, it's still comparable. It's still in that $27 million range. If you look back here in some previous years, you had it in the 30s as well. So we're glad to move that down. Our strategy that we've talked about previously is to kind of try to keep this level for a little while and then over time kind of graduate down. We have some bonds paying off. I believe it's in 2026 kind of take it down to that next level. We have our debt increment going away next year, which that's $6 million, which will decrease it. But then we'll replace that with our junior high bonds, and so we still should keep that as a level as far as our rate. Now, with AV going up, we should still see our rate continue to decline as we move forward. So good news. So with the rates and stuff, so Tyler, if you pull up the next one, next sheet I have is kind of our cash balances. And so this is my fourth year here. It's hard to believe time has just flown by. And so there's concerns, you know, legitimate concerns when I was first hired here that, you know, hey, we have some financial problems and things that are going to happen in the future, and we need to be careful. And so started formulating a plan, and well, how can we manage it, our finances as we move forward? So essentially July 1, I started August 1st, so July 1st balances. We have our taxable funds, which back then was the general fund, debt service, pension, capital projects, transportation, bus replacement. And then those got morphed in 2019. Those got consolidated. So the general fund became, 80% of the general fund became the education fund, and about 20% of that moved to the operation fund. And then capital, transportation, and bus all got moved to the operation. So you had all these different funds got consolidated into three funds. So I showed that so we could compare apples to apples. So we're gonna, based on our projections for the end of the year here, which should be pretty close to this, we believe we're gonna end with $2.9 million. Essentially, this will be the fourth year of a balanced budget since budgeting 2017, 18, 19, and 20. So even in the mid-year, we had a little bit 19.1. It's a calendar year budget, so you got to go back to January 1st. So January 1st, we had $18.2 million. We ended at the end of 17 with 18.4. At the end of 19, 18.6. End of 19, 18.7. And then end of this year, 18.8. So again, having 4 years of balanced budgets within the taxable funds. But then you also say, well, what about a rainy day fund? Because that's our savings account. We know we need to save up for that. We know we got our debt increment going away. So back then, when I first started, it was like $17.8 million. But if you go back to January 1, it was $19.3 million. So between January and June, when I got here, you know, $1.5 million or whatever was spent. So by the end of that 17, we were able to get it back up. But then we consciously had been spent down some our rainy day funds to do some projects. We've done Wanamaker, we've done some junior high, we've done some LED projects, knowing full well that we had a plan to kind of replenish that, which we did. So you can see rainy day went down, and then it kind of went back up. I'm sorry, right here. Went down, and then it's gone back up. So at the end of this year, try to make a long story short, at 12/31, we're going to end with $37.6 million. Well, if you want to compare that to when it started, it's $37,054. So $550,000 more than what we started with. Or if you want to take it back till the beginning January 1 budget, about $72,000 more than the January
Here's
budget.
Here's some recipes I found.
So
you'd like those.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, there were, you know, legitimate concerns. We want to make sure we didn't spend down our cash balance because we knew we had rainy days coming. You know, if we hadn't had cash balance for pandemic, you know, that definitely helped us. Cash balance is also a big revenue source for us, which didn't used to be. I mean, we were earning, not even $100,000 in interest, I think. And now we're earning right at $1 million in interest. So as that cash balance decreases, your revenue decreases as well. So it's good to keep that going. We've also saved hundreds of thousands of dollars on capitalized interest costs because we were able to pay for some of these construction projects up front with our cash and then reimburse ourselves later. And then we've also had some opportunities where we refinanced some debt, not extending the term, but lowering the annual payment, which has also helped our situation. So with that, I think we're sitting in a decent situation today especially compared to 4 years ago. And so what we're recommending as we've gotten through all this COVID stuff is just recently the teachers got what's called a teacher incentive grant. So it's a state grant. And so we would like to pay the administrative staff and the professional staff who weren't eligible for that, that same stipend amount, because you get that fence peeking going on. You have two people working side by side. Some person gets it, the other person doesn't. But yet they're still on the same team. They're still working together. We'd also like to reward our 12-month classified staff, because at the time, you know, we've been going through this pandemic. You know, some districts were paying hazard pay or COVID pay or premium pay for working this time, and a lot of our 12-month people, none of our 12-month got that. They were just expected to work, and they did, and we're so thankful for that. And so we would like to give a $250 stipend to those 12-month classified staff, and we'd like to pay the administrative slash professional staff, that'd be the OTs, the PTs, the psychs, those people who didn't get the teacher incentive bonus, the teacher incentive bonus based on their evaluation. So if it was effective or highly effective, they get a little bit more. And so with that, that estimated cost would be less than the $72,000, or right at that $72,000 that we have projected there. And in either case, we're still sitting in the bank with $37.6 million. As we go into next year and the unknowns there. You happy to answer any questions?
Just to clarify, you mentioned those admins / certified. That also includes building principals, assistant principals too, correct? Or
that's correct. It'd be the administrative staff.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'd be principals, assistant principals, deans, psychologists, OT, PT, speech, admin interns. Those people who didn't, and it'd be on the same criteria of that we did for the
teacher appreciation grants.
Have to work so many days in order to be eligible for it. I believe it was 120, I believe. Turf eligible, turf eligible. Yeah. So we just think in today's climate, where we've managed the situation to get to this point or to maintain this point, that it's a goodwill gesture to our employees that every one of them could need and doesn't put an undue burden on the community as well.
I'll go ahead and entertain that motion then to pay the administrators and certified staff who didn't receive the teacher incentive bonus $660 or $495 based on highly effective or effective, and pay the approximate 132 12-month classified staff $250.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Smith. Second, Ms. Downer. Any questions or discussion?
It's just wonderful. That's all I can say. I'm so happy that these people are going to see that they are appreciated. It's been a rough year for everybody. And I think it's just a very noble gesture to try to do something to show them that they are appreciated.
I'd like to add just a couple things. When Fred and Dr. Hibbard came to me with this idea, it really made me think of how our people feel and when is the appropriate time to let them know how important they are to us. And I told you the story of my job, and I got kind of a care package in the mail from my job for our end of the year. We would normally have some kind of celebration. COVID doesn't allow for that, right? So it came with a letter and a few goodies, and you know, nothing was super expensive or anything, but it just let you know that you were appreciated, right? And my company talks about that. And so as a school district, even up until this point and until you had this idea, I really feel like we've done a great job, and it's through the creativity that you guys all have coming up with these suggestions, ways that we can make our staff feel appreciated when things are so hard, right? And what we did for our IAs and our bus drivers and trying so hard to keep them and keep their pay whole even though they couldn't come to work last spring. I was very excited about this idea, and I think the timing is perfect, and it's something, it doesn't cost us a huge amount of money, and it's a way that we can let everybody know that we think they're important and that they're doing good work. So I'm all for it. All right, so we'll go ahead and take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Friend.
Any other new business? What about old business? Superintendent comments.
So tonight is a sad night for me. One of the people that hired me is going to be leaving us. And Judy, we have for you a clock and a pen for your service for the last 4 years. And we appreciate you so much and all your support over the last
Thank
four
you
years.
So much. That's really sweet. It's been a blessing to be here.
And you also have a gold card that will get you into any event.
Oh, ooh, thank you.
Anyway, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you, but also to let the community know, in Judy's support, we have a new firehouse that sits in front of South Creek Elementary. We have a full at capacity. Melly tells us we could add another wing and be at capacity.
Really?
Want to make an early learning center, which you were hugely supportive of, and all the other initiatives, particularly the academic piece, having a literacy program now, and common formative assessment process, etc. At all that, and we just really appreciate it. And of course, you know, Fred's work over the last 3.5 years.
Wow.
He was a really good hire. I don't know whose idea it was to bring him here, but he's done an exceptional job, as well as everybody else up here. I can't say enough. And we had a little Chick-fil-A lunch, with a box lunch, where we were all 6 feet apart this past Friday, and that's what I said to the staff, and particularly our HR staff this year, and all the work they've had to do with COVID. My wife's in HR, and I know what she has to go through every day of getting the forms, people that are close contact or positive, and then figuring out who else in our organization is contact. All that said, in Marion County, with the exception of Speedway, who is the smallest school district, public school district in the county, they got a waiver by Marion County to be able to go to school in person. We went the most days in person for our kids. And as a parent of a high school senior and others around the table that have kids in our district, in-person learning is essential for kids. I think that's one thing we've learned
yes.
here over the last 9 months is that how important teachers are and kids being around other kids and their learning. So. Anyway, thank you so much for all that you've done for the school district. One of the things I wanted to tell everybody is that you know how much Judy's loved when we would go on the school tours each year for the last 4 years. And there wasn't a school that we would go to that people didn't pour out of their rooms, other teachers and teaching assistants and other people in the office, and would hug you. And so that always showed me how well you were thought of as a teacher. Are truly well thought of in our school district, and I just want to thank you for 4 years of service, which isn't always fun. So, thank you,
and I I'm just thankful that you are here. I think it's just amazing to see the changes that have taken place, and I've loved every one of them. They have been good ideas, and I'm sure it will continue.
Well, Judy, 4 years is a long time, for sure, but I've really enjoyed getting to know you and serving with you, and definitely piggybacking on what Dr. Hibbard said. I can't count the number of people. I heard your voice down the hall, or I heard your laugh down the hall, and they would come out and fill you in on everything that's going on, but you've been a great contributor over these past
Thank
4 years. The corporation and the district have done a lot under your leadership, so we appreciate your service. Like I said to you before, you're a flash to the core.
I truly am.
So this is, you know, your 4 years is up here, but I know it's only a matter of time.
Doesn't mean I'm leaving Franklin Township.
Well, now with your gold pass, we'll see you at everything. I think,
well, if we can ever go again.
That's true. Good point. But thank you.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Any other board comments tonight? I will say thank you again to all of our scouts. I think this is one of the biggest attendance we've had for scouts at one of our meetings. So sorry we didn't quite have enough chairs, but thank you for keeping your 6 feet and for staying with us all night. Thanks for leading us in the pledge as well, Isaac. Like I said, hopefully you learned something, but all of us are definitely available if you have any questions, and hopefully you guys all get your badge after tonight's meeting. So thanks for coming. And at 6:57, did you guys have anything else? Okay.
No, that we just have 10 days till the end of this year, and we can look forward to 2021.
God. All right, we are adjourned at 6:57.